of Illinois students for 64 years. Hendrick House works to ensure a quiet environment for study and relaxation. More information is available at 365-8000 or at hendrickhouse.com.
Let's take a look now at weather. An upper-level disturbance continues to lift to the northeast and into the Great Lakes. As a result, additional thunderstorms may develop this afternoon across Wisconsin and far northern sections of Illinois and Indiana. The remainder of the region, though, should remain dry. A gusty southerly wind in the wake of this system will once again push temperatures well above average, with many locations topping the 70-degree mark. Unseasonably warm conditions will continue through the week, with high temperatures reaching the 70s each day. High temperatures today will range from the upper 40s across northwestern Wisconsin to the upper 70s across southeastern Missouri. Low temperatures overnight will range from 30 degrees in northern Wisconsin to the upper 50s in western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon becoming partly sunny with a slight chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. The high 72. It will be windy with the wind from the south at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 47. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. The wind will be out of the west from 5 to 10 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 72 and a light west wind. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. The low 52. The wind from the southeast at 5 to 10. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 78. The wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high Thursday in the mid-70s. Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low Thursday night in the upper 50s, the high Friday in the low 70s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana at most locations in the 60s. There was a mix of sun and cloud. At Rockford, 55 degrees. It was 64 at O'Hare, 65 degrees at Bloomington and Mattoon, and Carbondale, 69 degrees. It was 63 degrees at South Bend and Indianapolis at the top of the hour, and Lafayette, 66, and Terre Haute, 67. Willard Airport reported 70 degrees at the top of the hour under a mostly sunny sky. The dew point, 55. The relative humidity, 60%. The wind out of the south at 33 miles per hour with gusts to 39. And the pressure, 29.88 and falling. At 1240, 68 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Spicy foods may be good for your heart. New studies are showing some spices, like those used in the Indian subcontinent, can cut the risk of diabetes and heart disease. NPR's Allison Aubrey has more.
If you think that just a little dash of the traditional Indian spice turmeric can go a long way, as I once did, you've likely never had it prepared for you in the way Poonam Dhingra learned from her mother.
Let me tell you something. You have to really use a lot of turmeric. And I think it's very healthy. That's what it is.
Even at breakfast, when she'd add it to a chickpea dish or use it to prepare a turmeric milk, which she's making now.
How many teaspoons do you think are here in this little dish?
I would say about 5.
So Indians are not afraid to use turmeric?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. This is like a second nature to us.
Dhingra owns an Indian restaurant called Mihak just around the corner from NPR. And when she invited me to try this milk, I was curious.
We're going to put some sugar and you just mix it well and make sure the milk is warm and stir it and drink it.
Dhingra says her mother would make this milk when she was sick or had a cut. In her house, this was considered medicine.
Does this bring back a taste of childhood?
Yeah, definitely.
And when I take a sip of this warm turmeric milk, wow,
has a lot of pungent.
Very pungent. You know, I was afraid to take so much of it. I thought it would be really strong. But it's
sugar, it actually, or honey, if you have the honey.
Yeah, I'm really shocked. I thought that this would be really overwhelming. And instead, it's just sort of a nice sort of aromatic milk.
Yes, definitely.
What I notice as the residue of milk paints my mouth is a sort of subtle tingling sensation. What Dingra experiences is a taste of health.
And I think our parents or our ancestors definitely knew about it, that it, what came good of it.
So how does this super spiced turmeric drink fit with what researchers are learning about the health benefits of spices? Well, it turns out the amount of spice may be significant. When Dingra showed us how easy it is to use 2 teaspoons of spice, this is how much researchers used in a recent study to evaluate turmeric and a blend of other spices' effect on the cardiovascular system. Sheila West of Penn State is the author.
Spices are of great interest to consumers, and a lot of claims are made about their health-enhancing effects.
But West says the rigorous trials doctors rely upon to nail down the evidence are just starting to happen. For her study, she recruited a bunch of people who agreed to eat several specially prepared meals and then have their blood drawn so researchers could analyze cholesterol, triglycerides, and insulin counts.
We created a meal that had 3 different components to it.
On the first night, the volunteers dined on a fairly high-fat chicken entree served with bread and a dessert biscuit, all of which was prepared with no spice at all.
It was palatable, but it was a bit bland.
On the next occasion, the same diners ate the same meal, except this time all 3 dishes were prepared with lots of spices, a blend that included turmeric, cloves, ginger, rosemary, and cinnamon. And West says what she found came as a big surprise.
Elevated triglycerides are a risk factor for heart disease, and what we showed is that when you had the spices included in the high-fat meal, the triglyceride response was reduced by about a third. And it was surprising in magnitude, that's for sure. I guess I just didn't expect such a large decrease.
When cardiologist Ravi Dave of UCLA Medical School looked at West's findings, he too was impressed. He points out the researchers also found a significant effect on insulin response, with levels decreasing about 20%.
To me, the biggest advantage is that lowering triglycerides and the insulin levels also lowers the risk of metabolic syndrome, which is a precursor to diabetes and a significant risk factor for heart disease.
DeVay says it's not clear whether these benefits of highly spiced meals lead to a long-term effect. He says as traditional healing methods are evaluated using modern scientific methods, more research is needed to nail down which blend of spices at what levels may be therapeutic.
What we have is more emerging data on the benefits of spices. So I'm really excited.
The challenge, DeVay says, may be to get more Americans habituated to a little more kick in their curry. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
It's 12:45. Both Democrats competing in the 13th congressional district primary in Illinois hope to take advantage of the new district map as they try to unseat Republican Tim Johnson. As Illinois Public Radio's Willis Kern reports, whoever wins the primary next week has a solid chance of winning in November.
The new 13th congressional district is among those crafted by Illinois Democrats, so the 6-term GOP incumbent Tim Johnson would be vulnerable. It contains Champaign-Urbana, Bloomington-Normal, Decatur, and Springfield, and trades away Republican strongholds in the northern part of the old 15th district in exchange for Democratically-leaning Madison County and Metro East. One of the candidates is Matt Getten.
I've been a prosecutor for the last 8 years, last 7 as the Greene County State's Attorney. I'm a veteran of Afghanistan. I've been in the Illinois Army National Guard for 13 years, and more recently I've transferred to the Air National Guard. I've been a small business owner. I have been an educator. I was a high school teacher for a short time.
Getten's opponent is David Gill, the Bloomington emergency room physician who's taking his 4th crack at unseating Johnson. Gill says he has a solid shot this time because the district looks so different.
If the map hadn't changed, if it was still Illinois 15, I don't know that I was going to keep beating my head against the wall. God bless Ford County and Douglas County and Iroquois County, but there's places there where God, with a D after his name, couldn't beat Satan with an R after his name.
Those areas aren't a factor anymore, but included in the new 13th are predominantly rural areas in other traditionally leaning Republican counties, Greene, Jersey, and Macoupin. Gill says he's confident he can perform well there.
I've lived in rural areas in the past, and a lot of that is farming country, rural country. There's a way of life there that I think is very similar to what they have in Carrollton and Jerseyville and Carlinville, and I feel very comfortable in those environments as I've been traveling these last 7 months.
Despite that presence, Gill's name is recognized primarily in parts of the old 15th District, Champaign, Bloomington, and Clinton. Gatton's the son of Greene County's former state's attorney, and his brother holds the same office in a neighboring county. The Gatton family is well connected in the Democratic Party, and that connection helped lead to an unprecedented endorsement from Illinois senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin.
The part of the district that he's from traditionally would lean Republican, but he's going to do well there. And I thought that may give him a slight advantage when it comes in to the overall congressional district.
We're disappointed to see Senator Durbin endorsing Matt Gatton.
Mike Richards is a Gill campaign spokesman.
But we're confident that David is going to win this primary because he's the only candidate who's been standing up for women's rights. He's been endorsed by the National Now, and he's the only candidate who's 100% pro-choice.
It's clear that Gill is highlighting Gatton's Catholic faith as a wedge between the two candidates who, even as Gatton acknowledges, take very similar stances on many major issues. Name recognition and political experience might be the key factor in this race, according to Illinois State University political scientist Eric Rankin, himself a Democrat and a member of the McLean County Board. Rankin notes the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is backing Gatton, and he says it's likely because Gill has already taken his three strikes at getting to Washington.
The DCCC and other than the National Party has just really got to the point where they're looking at this race and going, we're going to put our eggs in the basket of the unknown rather than what we already know and what we assume to be the eventual loser.
Nevertheless, Gill says he's buoyed by strong grassroots support. He says Macon County Republicans took the unusual step of voting on endorsement right after a joint appearance by each candidate, and he says the result was 50 Gill votes and none for Gatton. On defense issues, both say the military budget should be open for cuts, though Gatton says he agrees with Defense Secretary Leon Panetta that current proposed cuts aren't sustainable.
We can shrink the military, but I don't know that we can do that without sacrificing our ability to do what we've been trying to do for the past 10 years, which is wage wars in two theaters of operation.
Both Gill and Gatton fervently attack GOP incumbent Tim Johnson. Gatton says voters clearly want a change, and Gill says Johnson lacks principle and cites Johnson's reversal on term limits and his change of heart away from supporting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Johnson faces what appears to be token opposition in the primary, but could very well have the political fight of his life on his hands in November. I'm Willis Kern.
David this Gill and Matt Gatton will meet for a live debate Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., and you can see it on WILL-TV, hear it on AM 580, and experience it online at will.illinois.edu.
This fall, visit England and Wales, locations made famous in Last of the Summer Wine, Downton Abbey, and more, including Agatha Christie's home on the coast of South Devon. Does American history suit you? Well, travel in private vintage train cars on our Civil War train. This September's itinerary includes important southern battlefields and discussions with historian Anthony Pitch. Information is at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 12th of March, 2012. It's the centennial of the Girl Scouts in this country. Juliet Gordon Lowe of Savannah, Georgia, came back from a trip to England where she heard about the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides, came back to Savannah, formed the first troop, 18 girls. It's the birthday of Jack Kerouac, born Lowell, Massachusetts, 1922, French-speaking Quebecois parents. He was a football star, went to Columbia on a football scholarship, and there he met Allen Ginsberg, William S. Burroughs, and Neil Cassidy. Jack Kerouac idolized Neil Cassidy, and he typed up the story of their cross-country adventures on a single scroll of paper 120 feet long, published in 1957, as On the Road. He depicts Neil Cassidy, whom he calls Dean Moriarty, as a charismatic, bad boy American hero. It's the birthday of the playwright Edward Albee, born Washington, D.C., 1928, adopted at the age of 2 weeks by Mr. and Mrs. Reed Albee of Larchmont, New York, of the Albee theater-owning family. They expected their son to go into business. He wanted to be a writer. He had a falling out with them when he was 20, moved to Greenwich Village, never spoke to his father again, didn't speak to his mother for 17 years. Wrote his first play, The Zoo Story, when he was 30, and 4 years later, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? It was his first Broadway play, produced in 1962, and a runaway hit. It's the birthday of the poet and author Naomi Shihab Nye, born in St. Louis, 1952. Father Palestinian, her mother American. Nye grew up in St. Louis, Ramallah, Jerusalem, and San Antonio, where she lives today. Her latest book, a collection of short stories, There Is No Long Distance Now. Naomi Shihab Nye, who said, "Poetry calls us to pause. There is so much we overlook while the abundance around us continues to shimmer on its own." It's the birthday of Carl Hiaasen, born Plantation, Florida, 1953, columnist for the Miami Herald, novelist, and his young adult novel, Hoot, won the Newbery Award in 2002.